Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, I want to ask you guys this question. Is there anything the NBA could do to get you interested in this upcoming season? I think there are a lot of really exciting storylines. I enjoy the NBA. Rob, you also enjoy the NBA. Kansas City is an excellent sports town. There is a sports league that starts today that has 11 former KU players in it, and some of them are very good. Is there anything the NBA could do to get you interested in this upcoming season? We'll get to that coming up in just a bit. If you missed it earlier today, we were talking about the attack on Pro Football Focus. If you missed it, Geno Smith had a higher rating than Patrick Mahomes. Here's Nick Wright.
Pro Football Focus's quarterback rating system said on Sunday, Geno Smith played a better game than Patrick Mahomes.
Needs to be tweaked.
They published that. They put that out to the world. They said from a passing perspective, on Sunday, Geno was the 12th best quarterback in the league with a 67 grade. And Patrick Mahomes was the 16th best on Sunday with a 62 grade.
Okay. I mean, if that's the conclusion that you came to, then something is wrong. Patrick Mahomes is likely going to win AFC Offensive Player of the Week again. He completed 75% of his passes, threw for 286 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions, and they basically punted on the second half of the game. So I don't know why Mahomes was the 16th ranked quarterback. I also don't know why he was ranked behind Geno Smith, but that was one of the things we talked about in the 2 o'clock hour. So you guys know Nick Wright, very big national voice. Every Tuesday, we like to kind of go around the National Football League and hear what people are saying about the Kansas City Chiefs. Here is Colin Cowherd.
I don't feel bad for the Chargers or Baltimore or Joe Burrow and the Bengals, although he's hurt this year. You know, all these teams had a chance. Kansas City was 3-3. They didn't have Rice. They didn't have Worthy. This was your time to make up ground on them. But right now, Kansas City's not only back, I think they're better than ever. They have drafted so well. This is the deepest, twitchiest, most unique wide receiving core, the best play designer, the best distributor. I watched yesterday, and I mean, it was like Mahomes was in a baseball cap in the fourth quarter. It's like they pulled their starting pitcher after a great two-hitter, and he had a 6-run lead in the seventh inning, and he sat in the bench, the dugout, and watched. But I don't see a hole. I said this a month ago when they clobbered the Ravens. Everybody said, oh, the Ravens are beat up. That's not what I watched. Right now, they just keep adding elements. And I saw it with the Rams in Jacksonville. The smart teams in this league, they miss on draft picks. They make mistakes. They get players hurt. They have 2-3 game slumps. But they course correct. They identify mistakes quickly.
I think that's one of the biggest talking points from this week regarding the Chiefs. Now, I think the Broncos took advantage of it. The Chiefs were down, and the Broncos, they went 5-2 during that stretch. Now, they've had a couple of losses. I don't think the expectation right now in this league is that the Broncos should be 7-0. They've won a couple of games they probably should have lost. They lost a couple of games that they should have won. Things have evened out. I think the Broncos are going to be a playoff team. The team that should really be kicking themselves is the Chargers. The Chargers started off the year 3-0. They have the Giants then coming up. Every game that the Chargers have lost so far this season, I've seen them lose that game a million times. And there was a fork in the road about what kind of team the Chargers wanted to be. Were the Chargers going to be the Lions? Were they going to be the Buccaneers? Were they going to be Kansas City, Philadelphia? That was off to the left. Usually, their season goes off to the right, where they're just one of the rest of the teams in the league. The Chargers might win 9 games this year. Maybe they win 10 games this year. They'll probably be a wild card team. They'll go on the road in round 1 of the playoffs, and they'll lose in the wild card round. Like, we've just seen this happen so much. I don't think you can be critical of the Broncos in this way, at least the way that Colin Cowherd was describing it. You certainly can when it came to the Chargers. You've already beaten Kansas City, so you already had a one-up on them. And then for you to now right now be sitting here and you got the same record as the Chiefs, you got to be embarrassed about the way this has started off. You started off 3-0. The Chiefs started off 0-2. They've been looking under 500 a couple of times. That was your chance to really create the distance. You didn't create the distance. You're dead. You're done in the AFC West. The Broncos still very viable. The Chargers, they are not viable. It's tied now from this point. I don't care about the tiebreaker. They're going to play each other again, so the tiebreaker doesn't matter at this point. Who do you trust to win more games from now until the end of the season, the Chiefs or the Chargers? That is a no-brainer question if you were asking me. It is much more likely Kansas City wins more games than the Chargers do. So that was Colin Cowherd. Here's Chris Broussard of First Things First, a colleague of Nick Wright. He says no one's challenging the Chiefs.
No one right now looks like they can challenge the Chiefs in the AFC. Yeah. And so that's why it's bittersweet. And here's the thing, Nick. It's early. Obviously, it's only week, 7? You could even say, in this sense, they're beyond back. Because right now, in total offense, they are top 5. In total defense, they are top 5. What we've typically seen
is one or the other.
Yeah, early on in Mahomes, you know, career, it was the offense was great, the defense is okay, solid. Then it became the defense is great, the offense is solid, that's okay, situational. Now they look great on both sides of the ball.
That was Chris Broussard of Fox Sports 1 talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. I think that's a very, very good point. The Chiefs right now look to be a team who have a chance of being elite on both sides of the ball. Only one team in the league has scored more points than they have. It's the Colts. Defensively, list the team that you think is better defensively than Kansas City. It's not a lot of teams that you would put on this list. Usually has kind of been one or the other. I would say the last couple of years, Chiefs have been a top 5 defense in the league. They've been kind of middle of the pack or slightly below average when it comes to the offensive side. When the Chiefs had the most dynamic offense in the league, their defense was fine. We're talking about a team right now that if they continue to stay healthy, continue to grow and progress the way that everyone expects, we're talking about a team that could have possibly the best offense in the league and a top 5 considered defense. That's why I said this a couple of weeks ago. I know the Chiefs are going to have a worse record than they did last year. This team is much more complete, and they have a much heavier punch than they had last year. Last year's team couldn't really knock anybody out. That's why they played 11 one-score games. That's why the end of games were so weird and kooky. I don't think this team's going to have a lot of those games. Sure, they're going to lose again. Someone's going to beat this team again. But you've just seen, I mean, they're blowing teams out. When they get that drive, when they get you down and you got a chance to go down 14, 21 points, they are able to put you away with their offense. That hasn't really been a thing for Kansas City the last couple of years. I want to play one more cut for you guys, and then we'll ask the question about the NBA. Here is Emmanuel Acho talking about the Chiefs and their offense.
the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC, not just because of how they're playing the last 2 weeks, but they're the best team in the AFC because we believe in the Chiefs. We know Patrick Mahomes is going to show up. We know Andy Reid's going to show up. We know they're going to have tricks up their sleeve. Not only can they beat you fundamentally, they can outsmart you as well. Then Rashee Rice comes back. He instantly gets 6-7 catches. Travis Kelce seems like he's getting back in the gear and getting back into shape. Xavier Worthy, he'll make a splash play here, a splash play there. And more than anything, the running game is consistently starting to grow, so Patrick Mahomes doesn't have to do everything. If the Chiefs can continue to build on this offensively, who in the hell in the AFC looks intimidating? I do see them reigning as king again.
Yeah, I feel like as we are starting to sort the AFC out a little bit, it kind of feels like more of the same. The Chiefs are sitting at the top of the conference. The Bills right now, I still think they're the second best team in the AFC. You got a group of other teams that were still trying to figure out: Denver, Indianapolis. You got those group of teams. But it feels like, man, the more things change supposedly in the AFC, the more it is just a repeat of what we've seen before. And if you're going to knock Kansas City off or you're going to win this division, it's just going to take a very, very complete effort. Whether it's from the Colts in the playoffs, whether it's from the Broncos in the division, Buffalo, whomever it's going to be, like, you're going to have to play really, really well and be very well-rounded in order to knock Kansas City out of the postseason. Coming up on the other side, today is day one of the NBA. I'm asking the question, is there anything the NBA could do to possibly get you interested in the league? We'll talk about it next. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, coming up in just a little bit, there is potentially, possibly an update on where the Royal Stadium is going to go. We'll get to that coming up in just a bit. I would like to talk about the NBA for just a little bit because the NBA gets going today. This is my question. Text line 913-586-7965. Is there anything that the NBA could do that could have you interested in watching their sport? I think if we were talking about from a skill level standpoint, I think this is the most skilled era of basketball that we have ever seen. I think if you look at a large majority of the league, almost every team in the league has a player that is worth the price of admission to go watch play. I think the NBA television contract is better now than it has been in years past. Today, they are opening up the season on NBC. So I think the ratings are going to go up this year just because they're putting more games on regular standard television. Now, I don't want to make it seem like I think the NBA is perfect. And I think that if we are talking about sports leagues, the NBA has, I think, the biggest disconnect between your average everyday fan. My biggest complaint about the NBA is sometimes they just act like they're too cool to try. The fact that we have so much conversation about the NBA All-Star game when basically all you're asking is you're asking 20 NBA players to give 25 minutes of their time for the fans and they push back on it so hard, I think rubs a lot of people the wrong way. When you think about how much money good NBA players make to great NBA players, like I'm not here to put down Christian Brown. He just got $125 million guaranteed. Christian Brown gets paid like a franchise quarterback and is not a top 50 player in the NBA. Like, so the money is so ridiculous right now in the NBA that I think when you would say effort and energy is certainly a question in the NBA and something that they are regularly and routinely going back and forth with the players with, I think that has turned a lot of people off. I think the style of play has gotten very stale. And I say this as someone who loves basketball. It has become a three-point exhibition. Basketball is at its most interesting when it's played at the rim. When you get really fun and unique dunks, when you get creative layups, when players are banging and colliding against each other, when guys are really fighting for rebounds, basketball is at its best when it's played at the rim. And I think more than anything, there's a large group of basketball fans. I just want different kind of shots. This happens in college too. It's dribble, dribble, dribble. Can we get a corner three at some point in this possession? You guys can't shoot a floater? You guys can't shoot a mid-range? What happened to the Tim Duncan little 18-foot right there on the corner of the free throw line? What happened to that shot? I missed that shot. That was a fun shot. So I don't want to paint it like I think the NBA is perfect, but if it's a Wednesday and there's no football on, you're looking for something to watch. I mean, I'll be watching the NBA during those games. If it's a Friday night and you're telling me I get a Lakers-Sixers, Lakers-Rockets, I mean, I'll be watching on a Friday night. Now, my energy to the NBA, it goes in waves. I'll watch early on in the season. I kind of pick back up around Christmas. I pick back up around the NBA All-Star break. And then from that point, it's go time. It's now a sprint to the end of the season with the NBA playoffs right around the corner. So I don't want to paint it like I'm just locked in watching all 82 games of the NBA season. It's too much basketball, too much other stuff going on right now. But I am interested in the league. A lot of you are not interested in the league. I'm wondering if there is anything that the NBA could do. I mean, they're not shortening the season. Is there anything that the NBA could do this season that would have you say, man, it's a Tuesday night. I'm sitting at home. It's Thunder and Celtics on. You know what? I want to watch this game today. Because I'm guessing that a lot of you choose no on that option more times than not. There's an NBA game on today. There's nothing else happening right now. There's no baseball on. There's no college football today. There's no NFL on today. I mean, the NBA, I think, is actually going to do pretty decent today on NBC. Is there anything the NBA could do to get you to sit down and watch it today on NBC? Rob, you and I are NBA fans, so they already have us. What do you think the common response is going to be on the text line? Because I'm not looking at it.
So I think the text line is going to have a couple different answers. I think one you kind of hit on, which is the fact the game is so three-point centric now, which is just, it's basketball in general. And I don't know, I love it either, but it is just, we talked about analytics earlier in the show. It's the wave. Now, why take a long two when you can step back and get a three, for a bonus point for doing it? So I think you're going to see a lot of that on the text line. I also think something you're going to see in the text line is, man, there's no connectivity to any of these teams locally. Like you mentioned, there's 11 KU players in the league, or I'd forget the number you said. And yeah, KU fans like watching those guys, but they don't feel a connection to a team. And when you don't feel a connection to a team, I'm just watching the league for the sake of watching the league. I don't think that draws people in outside of NBA markets the same way it does inside of NBA markets. I think it's like baseball that way, where it's like, oh man, it's Tigers and Mariners on a Thursday night. Well, the Royals could really have the Tigers lose a game, maybe get a half game. I'll put it on in the background. There is no feeling like that in the NBA in Kansas City. Why do I care about Celtics and Bucks? I don't gain anything from watching it other than saying I watched it. So I think you're going to see a lot of there's no connectivity to Kansas City because of its lack of team.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I guess I'm sitting here and I'm looking at it is there is a group of people that really hate the NBA. I don't think there's a group of people that hate hockey. There's a lot of people like me. Hey, I've never been to a hockey game. I didn't grow up in a hockey market. I don't bother hockey. Hockey doesn't really bother me. You don't really get a lot of people on the text line that hate hockey. there is that sentiment around the NBA. When I would say Kansas City, for the most part, really loves and appreciates basketball. The same basketball players that you go down into the Big 12 tournament and watch and play, they keep playing after they leave wherever they were at. Christian Brown still plays basketball for a living. He's actually very good at it. So a lot of the guys that you watch and follow and spend 3-4 years, you can still continue to watch them. And a lot of people just outright say no in that instance. I've always just been very curious on the why and what could they possibly do to get you on the side of doing it? Because if you're saying the season's too long, they're not fixing that part of it. And that's not an issue of why you don't watch baseball. No one says, I don't watch baseball because the season's too long. No, you just watch the games you're going to watch. Hey, I come home, I got the game on, I'm doing all this other stuff. That's not really how we talk, and that's not really how we treat the NBA, which is very interesting to me.
It is odd. I've always felt this. I don't have any problem with people who don't watch the NBA, don't care about the NBA. There are probably reasons why you don't like the NBA, and that's fine. I don't care. What has always confused me, and you touched on there, is in Kansas City, at least, there is like a visceral reaction from people when you do talk about the NBA or say you're an NBA fan. We had Steven Spector on the show earlier. He makes fun of me all the time in the office for loving college basketball. All the time. It's his favorite hobby. But you know what? At the end of the day, no one's ever like, oh, college basketball, disgusting. But when we talk about the NBA, that is how some people react. And I don't understand hating it. If you don't like it, and if it's not for you, that's fine. But I've never understood the visceral hate. And I think that there is probably something to that beyond just what's happening on the court. And I can't put my finger on it. We asked Scott Parks in the newsroom, and he just waxed poetically about 90s nostalgia, which I guess it could be that. But I don't know why people hate the league the way they do.
I asked Parks this question earlier, and he said, I love Parks. I really said this. I asked Parks this question. I thought he's a good person. He said, in the 90s, they had more characters. And the first person he named, you were there, he said, John Starks. I assure you they have John Starks today in the NBA. I assure you that they do. I'm with you. Now, there are things that I very much love about the NBA. I love the drama and the storylines about the NBA. Like, I love it. For those of you that watch wrestling, they ain't got nothing on the storylines they got in the NBA. I also just love the athleticism that we have. There's currently a 7'5 player that plays for the San Antonio Spurs that you have never seen anything like. There's not a basketball player that you have ever seen play basketball that is anything like Victor Wembanyama. That's interesting to me. You have the greatest shooter in the world. Everybody listening has shot a basketball at some point in their life. There's a person currently playing in the NBA that's better at it than all of them. So you've got, I would say, a very interesting crop of new players that are emerging. Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum, Victor Wembanyama, etc. You still got the old guard, so the players that we grew up with, Kevin Durant, LeBron, Steph Curry, all of those guys. I would say, especially in the Eastern Conference, it is as wide open as it's ever been. Who's the best team in the East right now? Is it the Knicks? Is it the Cavs? Is it the Orlando Magic? So one of the complaints about the NBA was, well, we know how it's going to end. That's not how I would say it is right now. And I would say, if you'd say that's a complaint that you have about the league, that's how the league always is. You can't tell me that you hate parity in the league and then love the 90s. Because the 90s had no parity in the league. One team went to all the finals and won all of the finals. The 2000s didn't really have parity in the NBA. There's never been more parity in the league than we have right now. They've had 7 different champions in the last 7 years. So I would say a lot of the things that people say they want the NBA to have, it currently has in the league.
I would also say, and I'm not saying this is how I feel, I would also say the last reason why people don't like it, and I think this is lame, but that's fine, because I'm using what we talked in the newsroom about earlier. There's a thought that, well, no one calls traveling, the game's not officiated correctly, so I won't watch it. I don't know why, but that sentiment with the NBA comes up more often than any other sport we follow. I don't like the way it's officiated. I can't watch. I think that is I don't have the text line up. I imagine that is a sentiment that you are seeing. And I'm not going to lie to you. There are a lot of uncalled travels in the league. It does exist. I'm not even going to hide from it. What was that one LeBron tried once? He said, I didn't travel. I crab dribbled or whatever he called it. That was a travel.
I actually feel like the traveling gives the league characters. I find it humorous. I mean, people do hate the officiating hate league. That's 100%. That's fair.
And I think people, and it again, there's bad officiating in every sport, but the NBA, they point to the officiating. They don't call that one call. I can't watch because of it.
And this is the last thing, and we can move on from this. I'm sitting here and I'm looking at these kinds of things. No one that loves college basketball likes it for the game. It's all the other stuff. Like right now, on the our top text line, college basketball is just so much more entertaining to watch. The games are more intense. There's more heart and passion. The NBA is a snooze fest with divas traveling, no defense, and 53s. I honestly don't know how you could watch college basketball and watch the NBA and be more entertained with college basketball. I don't understand it. I watch a lot of college basketball, watch a lot of NBA. I don't know how you could watch, be more entertained by the basketball. The people that like college basketball like it for all of the other things. They like it because of the crowd. They like it because of the intensity of the people around it. No one ever talks about how good the basketball is with college basketball. It's just the fixings. And that's a fantastic part of it. That's what makes it so cool. Part of what makes college football cool is the upset and the fans running onto the field. But I actually like the product when I'm watching college football. The product in college basketball is certainly improving. And I feel like because of now NIL and kids staying around, there's more continuity than there were before. But I honestly, I don't know how you could turn a college basketball game on, turn an NBA game on, and be more impressed with what you're watching in college than the NBA. I don't know how that's possible.
I also think, and this is kind of to your college basketball point, and it's something we experience in Kansas City with the baseball team. I do think the NBA has an inventory problem. And the fact that I think there's too much inventory.
I agree, 100%. 100%.
One of the reasons why the NFL has become the dominant force it is among sports in America is, A, it's the perfect television show. Like, it's a better product on television than any other sport, period. Two, it has a scarcity of games, so you feel like every game is important. Basketball doesn't have that. Even if they dropped to 60 games, they would have it more, but there would still be, hey, it's third place in the East is on the line. Doesn't have the same juice as all the AFC West's on the line. It just doesn't have the same ump. Basketball and college basketball has this problem too. It has an inventory problem. There's too many games, and people think if they miss one, life goes on. And because of that, I think people find themselves tuning out on an average night.
I want to play this audio for you guys. So Rob actually brought this to my attention. I actually did not see this. This is from Ty Masterson. He's been on the show before, right? Not friend of the show, but he's been on the show one time before. He is expecting some news about the Royals and where their stadium could be.
The only site the Royals are considering is the one just south of where we are right now.
Masterson spoke to us for about 10 minutes in his hometown of Andover.
I am anticipating being presented with a proposal from the Department of Commerce and the team either at my late November or early December LCC meeting. That's what I'm expecting.
Masterson says he believes there are more Royals season ticket holders on the Kansas side than the Missouri side.
I do know a majority of the Royals fans are on our side of the fence, so it makes sense.
So Ty Masterson, he's been on the show before. He's pretty plugged in when it comes to this. I will continue to ask the exact same question about Kansas that I've asked this entire time. I understand why the Chiefs are having a real dilemma. What the Chiefs want and what the Royals want are two very different things, and they are weighing two very different options. The Chiefs have an iconic stadium that is known around the world, and they are thinking about either putting more money and renovating that stadium or having someone else build them a completely new stadium. Now, the Royals are also thinking about getting a new stadium, but there is no scenario in which they stay where they currently are. They have told you that at every single turn. We don't want to be at the Truman Sports Complex anymore. They have never proposed a single idea that would keep them at the Truman Sports Complex. If this Kansas deal is so great, why have they not taken it? Right now, there is one thing that they can do to never have to talk to Mayor Quinn Lucas again, never have to talk to the city of Kansas City again. They don't have to talk to North Kansas City. We've already bought land out here. This is where we think the best future for the Kansas City Royals are. And I think a lot of people would understand, especially with everything that is going on in Missouri, from a $100 million deficit to what's going on with Frank White. Like, you have been given every possible out, if you want, of Missouri, where it could be like, all right, it's time to do something different. Why have the Royals just not simply taken it at this point? There is no, you cannot improve the Kansas deal from where it's at. That deal has been there from the moment that the vote failed last April. They have had the opportunity to take the exact same deal every single day, and they keep waiting and waiting not to. So then it just makes me question if they're ever going to take the deal, because again, what they want, what their options are so very different than what the Chiefs' options are.
Let me ask you this. Let me see if you agree with this theory I have. I guess a better way to say it. on why the Royals are still hem-hawing around. I think the two things the Royals want, and maybe not in order, are they want downtown baseball and they don't want another vote. Those are the two things I think the Royals want more than anything. And it's sounding more and more, and we get these news reports and they're kind of leaking out over time, like they are at least leaning toward 119th or Clay County. Clay County has to have a vote. 119th doesn't. They can just kind of go there. The mayor always says they don't need a vote to go downtown. So I think the Royals are trying to find a way to circumvent a vote to get their new stadium.
Let me ask you this, because I think this is a very valid question. You don't think that vote would pass in Clay County? Because I'm just thinking.
I don't think so. It would be a pretty big tax hike in Clay County to build the stadium. I don't think it's the Royals. I think in America, if you say taxes are going up, people don't vote for that. They just don't.
I'm 100% with you there. And that makes a lot of sense. But I guess what I would argue is, if you are North Kansas City and you are a proud North Kansas City person, like there's everybody from the metro is like really proud of it. Whether you grew up in Midtown, maybe you grew out in Overland Park, like you were really proud of your area. Your North Kansas City has never had anything close to this opportunity. You will never get the Chiefs. The Chiefs have no interest in going north of the river. This is your one opportunity in your life to secure the Royals. You will never get this opportunity again. If they build a stadium downtown, you will not get this opportunity again. If the Royals go to Kansas, they don't in 25 years decide, you know what, our stadium really should have been in North Kansas City. Let's tear this one down and let's start over. You get one shot at a stadium. So if you're North Kansas City and you don't vote yes on this thing, then okay. Then you will continue to be overlooked by a large portion of the metro area that for now, Rob, you never go over there. You live on 135th. Why would you ever go to Armor Road to hang out or do anything? This is the one time you will get real legitimate tourism and push local business from all across the metro, from all across the region that come to Royals games. And you're going to vote no on it? Well, then you don't deserve the team then. I'm sorry. You don't deserve the team in that scenario. So if they get that opportunity and they put it on the ballot and they vote no, then I don't know what to tell you then at that standpoint. I know things are bad for the Royals. I don't know if it's that bad they would get voted down in North Kansas City. I don't know if things are that bad.
I actually don't think it has anything to do with the Royals. I think what's going to happen is if you say we have to have a tax hike in Clay County and there has to be all this we've read the letter from the mayor of North KC. There has to be infrastructure changes. Like there's more to just plopping a stadium down North KC. I think right now the climate in America, they're not going to say yes to more taxes. And I think what the Royals want is to avoid losing at the ballot again. Because let's be honest, the Chiefs also had an egg on their face too. But the Royals, absolutely, it was more than Royals and the Chiefs, got pummeled at the ballot, and they don't want to open themselves up for that moment again. I do think it might win in Clay, but there's a chance it doesn't because of a tax hike. And you cannot open yourself up to be the professional sports team that lost a vote twice. That is a humiliating thing to be.
But this is where I don't think you're holding the Royals' feet to the fire enough. The Royals also put a half-ass plan together. If you still, whenever the Royals officially tell us whatever their plan is, I don't know. It could be tomorrow. It could be in 3 months. If you don't feel like it's a complete version, everybody associated should be fired. You've had almost 2 years to regroup. And I think everybody knows the next time that you stand in front of the public with pictures and examples and financials and all of those things, you better come correct. So I think part of why it failed, a large portion of it why it failed is, I think everybody could see through it. You guys don't have all your ducks in a row. People aren't stupid. I think we see this all the time. People are willing to pay for things. We talk about how expensive concerts are. People pay to go to concerts from artists that they like. I'm looking at Taylor Swift shows. People don't seem to have a problem paying what she's asking. People go see Beyonce. People go see Drake. They ain't coming to see that artist because that artist isn't good enough to charge what they're charging. So I'm with you. No one wants to pay more taxes. But I think there is an understanding. Hey, if you want the Chiefs to stay in Jackson County, you got to pay for it to continue to stay there. So when you present, hey, what should we pay for? You can't just give us more heaters is what you asked us to pay for the last time. The Royals asked for more, or the Chiefs asked for more heaters and upgraded suites. I can see why the public is like, no, I don't want to help pay for that. So if you are going to present this idea, whether it's in downtown Kansas City or Clay County, you, as the billion-dollar company that is going to ask for a lot of money, hey, you need to have a detailed plan on how this helps the residents of Clay County. And if you can't figure that out after 2 years of the drawing board, then you guys don't deserve us to help you pay for a new stadium. Figure out a way to pay for it for yourself.
I agree with that. I do think it's interesting. And I'm saying this as someone who lives in that area and doesn't really want the ballpark there. Ty Masterson, who's part of the Kansas City lawmaker group, I believe he's part of the Kansas State Senate, is saying we're a month away from the Royals plan being proposed. And that's the closest we've heard to an actual timeline. So if Ty Masterson's correct and they come to Kansas and say, here's our plan in the next month, it does sound like, is Kansas now reemerging as the favorite? Because like a week ago, the favorite was Clay. And before that, the favorite was like, these things pivot. Do you feel like right now, based on what Ty Masterson is saying, Kansas is the favorite to get the Royals?
I just feel like Ty Masterson is kind of one of those things. Like, do you ever expect Ty Masterson to say anything different? I'm not throwing shade at the man, but I guess what I'm saying is I love Nick Wright. When I turn on First Things First, regardless what happens with the Chiefs, I know what side Nick's going to be on. I know every single time. Nick ain't going to be like, hey, man, I don't know. They played poorly. I never heard that come out of Nick's mouth. There's not a situation in which I think a Kansas center is going to be like, I don't know, man. Our package actually really isn't that good. Missouri's put a really good one together. No, he's been telling you for a year how confident he is that they're getting the teams. And somehow nothing has happened. Remember that letter that came out? That letter came out 6 months ago. That letter came out. What's happened with that letter? We've heard no updates, no nothing when it comes to it. The deal is still the deal. They have every single opportunity right now. We could just end this conversation. They're not even leaking reports that they're super interested in Kansas. The last report we got about Kansas was when they bought that land. And that was 8 months ago they bought that land. That's a long time ago that story came out. They're not even leaking information that they're super interested in going over the camp. Maybe they do. Maybe I end up looking silly. I just will continue to say it's been there the whole time. Why is it taking you so long to take what everybody keeps saying is the best deal in the region? No public vote, don't need anybody's help, got all the space in the world, that's where all the season ticket holders are. There are all the advantages in the world of moving to Kansas. Why haven't they taken the deal yet? Coming up at the top of the hour, Joshua Briscoe will join us on the show. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to say that I appreciate everybody who reached out to me over the last 24 hours or so. I told you guys the story of how I went to go visit a property. I don't know if I'm going to buy anything, but I'm just interested in looking. And I felt like they was trying to get over on me. I really did. I felt like they were trying to swindle me. So I left. A lot of people have reached out. I just want to tell you that I appreciate you for that. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Joshua Briscoe. We'll get back to the Chiefs coming up in just a little bit. If you remember, the Chiefs put hands and feet all over the Las Vegas Raiders in Sunday's matchup. But you know what? We're going to have a little bit of fun today. Now, I was inspired to play this game because of Round Ball Rock. You guys know the NBA on NBC Music. And today, we are going to hear it on NBC for the first time in a long time. The NBA is back today. There's two games on NBC, and they are back covering the NBA. But that's not what this segment is about. So I asked Rob to do a little bit of a toss-up segment. Rob is going to play two iconic sports theme songs, and we're going to pick which one we like more. Rob, take it away.
Carrington, let's start in the college sports sphere. I'm talking about CBS College Sports. You tell me which of these iconic theme songs is better on CBS College Sports. Is it A?
When I hear this, I think 2:30 Alabama, Georgia.
The fact they made this the Big Ten song, too,
yeah, they,
is a travesty.
They need their own song. Like, yeah. What are we doing here? Like, right now, I could just see Tim Tebow throwing for 135 yards when I hear this music.
Or is this the more iconic CBS song?
I gotta go with the tournament music. I gotta go with the tourney music. It's just such a happy time of the year. When I hear that music, I think of me and you not really doing a lot of work from 11 to 2. You know, we got the TV set up.
Oh,
we got a little
TVs.
Bit of food going on. We're watching the games. We're talking. We're just guys, just, you know, having a good time. That's like the music that I hear. Like when you hear the Masters music, and you think that's the start of spring? No, the college basketball music is the official start of spring to me. I hate to do it to the CBS NFL music. I got to pick the college basketball music. I'm sorry. I got to pick that one.
Moving on to a little under the radar. I don't want to say a little dark horse, but two that have intense fan bases that love these theme songs. Is it A, the one you mentioned, the Masters?
Yeah, this one's going to be low for me. I don't love the Masters the way that you love it.
Oh, just
when I hear this, I think of a nap.
It just feels like, oh, spring has sprung. Speaking of theme songs that you don't have any connection to, that's why I'm fascinated by this toss-up. How about the NHL on ESPN?
Oh, the NHL music. I love it.
Really?
Bum, 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 bum. It gets me fired up. Give me a little Barry Melrose breakdown here. Give me a little Canucks Red Wings. Yeah, absolutely. That Masters music, no, get that away from me. Yeah, the NHL music, that's some of the best ESPN music they put together. That, turn it up again. Hit it again for me one more time. Hit it one more time. Oh, my goodness. You're getting ready for a little Game 6 in the Eastern Conference Finals? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, give me the NHL music over there.
As someone who literally never hears this live on television, I was stunned.
It's still great music. That Masters music, no. You like that song?
It just, it transports me to the Masters.
You never been?
Yeah, every year I get told
you
no.
You want to go. Yeah, you want to go.
It ain't my lack of trying. That yeah, ain't the problem.
I get that.
All right, Carrington, let's talk about the NFL.
Applied for the lottery this year. I also, I did not make it.
What are you going to do? Two of the iconic theme songs are both in the NFL. Is it A?
You know what? This one might be kind of low on the list. This just reminds me of just noon football. That's what that reminds me of. This reminds me of Dolphins Chiefs at noon.
I don't know why. I think of Priest Holmes every time I hear that song.
That's just, yeah, they played a lot of noon games.
Speaking of song you hear at noon, or is the better song?
Oh, the Fox music. When I think of the Fox music, I think of Cowboys at 325. I think of Cowboys Packers 325. I think a Niners Packers 325. You got Buck and Aikman, or you got Madden.
No one thinks of Brady and Burkhart. I'll say that.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. Bring back Greg Olsen. That's who we need back. RIP to John Madden, man. Mm-hmm. One of the happiest things that ever happened in my life is knowing that John Madden got to watch his documentary before he passed. So happy. I'm happy that Madden knows how much we loved and appreciated him.
Corso hasn't passed, but Corso's in the same vein.
Oh, for sure.
We love and appreciate
I'm happy that he knows how much we love him, too.
Dick Vitale deserves that moment in the same vein.
Have you been waiting all night for Sunday night?
No, I don't know that one. Yeah. That one only works because there's a music video for a long time.
Yeah, the only reason I care about that is Carrie Underwood. I don't really care. The song stinks, but
exactly.
I just care about looking at Carrie Underwood. That's a very attractive woman.
I got one more toss-up, Carrington, and these are what I think are the two most iconic songs in sports. You tell me, is it A?
This just reminds me of a good old NBA triple header. The Knicks taking on the Bulls.
I can hear Bob Costas talking over this.
Oh, my goodness. Bob's about to... when that monologue hits for that, oh, my goodness, I can't wait.
Or, I know you're affinity for the NBA, is this the more iconic song?
I can't believe you did this.
I wanted to put you in a blender.
I can't believe you did this to me.
Don't put me in charge of toss-ups.
This one's tough. I'm going to pick the NBA music.
Really?
I don't want to pick the NBA music, but I feel like I have to pick the NBA music because that's why we're doing this segment. But that Monday Night Football music, when they go live to the field, oh my goodness, it's iconic. When you used to get the Hank Williams Jr. intro leading into that music, and all your rowdy friends are here for Monday night, and then the two helmets would come together, boom, big collision.
And then
now we take the live look at the field. Oh my goodness, it gets you fired up. You don't even care about these two teams. I want to watch them now. Yeah, I'll watch Giants Cowboys on Monday Night Football now. Thank you. Oh man, with Al Michaels, he did what? Oh, what a time! What an absolute time. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Joshua Briscoe of the Chiefs Radio Network. We'll ask him, you know, at some point, I'm guessing, in the second half of that game, he just got on TikTok. I want to find out when that started. Keep it right here as The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.